Okay, here we go. All right. Let's do like this. This is what we have here is a long piece from the Beis Yaakov, which was the son of the Ishbitzer. And he's going to talk about a lot of the themes that we discussed till now. Yeah? And you see, has a very unique way of understanding psukim and many other things. Most of it I got. I think there may be one or two points which I didn't understand. I even asked somebody who is a specialist on Ishbitz. Maybe pass the sheet to Rav Shalom so he can offer the point. Okay, but in the meantime, you can look at it. All right? Any case, in other case, we're going to first look at some... Let's look at some of the midrashim that he brings first, right? He brings some psukim and some midrashim, and then afterwards we'll look at how we will remember them. So if you're not familiar with them, when he brings them down, I think he brings more than this, but these are the basic ones, okay? All right, so you, Moshe, must say to Pharaoh. We're in the English page. I brought them in, right? This is what God says. Israel is my son, my firstborn. Okay, so Israel is God's firstborn. All right, now, the next is a very famous midrash. It once happened that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, was coming from Migdal Gedor, from the house of his teacher. And he was riding his donkey by the river, and he felt a great happiness and full of himself. He had studied a lot of Torah. He was very proud. Mm-hmm. A particularly ugly man happened upon him, and he said to him, "Peace be upon you, Rebbe." And Rabbi Elazar did not respond. But instead, he did say this. He said to him, he didn't say peace. He said, "Good for nothing." How, call him another, Rake, you know? "How ugly this man is. Are all the people of your city as ugly as you are?" Pretty unpleasant response, right? By the way, Shalom, I read that piece is beautiful, what you said. The piece you showed me from Shlomo is very beautiful. He said something there which is really, I really appreciate it, okay? Okay, the man said, "I do not know, but go and tell the artisan who made me how ugly is the vessel that you have made." Of course, who's the artisan? Is God, right? That should even be a capital A, right? Go tell the one who made me that how ugly it is. So, of course, Rabbi Elazar immediately understood the mistake he made. When he, Rabbi Elazar, acknowledged in his gut that he had done wrong, he got down from his donkey and prostrated himself before the man and said to him, "I submit myself to you, forgive me." He said to him, "I will not forgive you until you go to the artisan that created me and tell him how ugly is the vessel that you created." In the end, the story goes on that he followed him all the way to town and had to apologize to him in front of everybody. And finally, the man accepted the apology. And of course, it turns out this is actually Eliyahu Navi who came to give him the mussar for being too proud after learning Torah. Okay? Okay, that's one story we're going to come to in the Beis Yaakov. Let's look at the next one. Maybe you'd like to read the next one. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana
said, "Chachamim pass on the true pronunciation of Hashem's four-letter name to their Talmidim and children once every 7 years. Some say they do so twice every 7 years. Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, it is more reasonable to say once every 7 years. This is my name, Leolam, forever, is written missing a vav. So we may read it, Le'alem, to conceal. Rava planned to reveal the name in his class. An elder remarked, it is written like Le'alem. Rava Bina contrasted two verses. One verse says, this is my name. And another verse says, this is my remembrance. The Holy One said, my name is not pronounced like it is written. It is written with Yud Kei, it is pronounced like Aleph Dalet.
Right, okay, so do you understand everything read there? You all understand it? Let's explain it over in your own words. When it says, Rechamim pass on the four-letter name to Talmidim, what does that mean? To pass on the, what does that mean? Every 7 years it would pass on, we know the four-letter name.
Speak it.
Or they would speak it, or just even tell them how to pronounce it, the proper punctuation, right? They would, right? Even, I don't even know.
So that it wasn't lost.
So it wasn't lost, right? I don't even know if they actually speak it, but maybe they would. But in any case, it was a very secret thing, right? And how do we know? I mean, these are probably sources which you're familiar with already. How do we know that they would do it only very, very frequently, once every 7 years, let's say? Because the verse says, this is my name, La'olam. This is my name for, right? But the word La'olam is missing a vav. So you can read it as Le'alem. This is my name to conceal, to hide. Yeah? So therefore we know that it was something which, the four-letter name was something that was concealed. And then Ravina says, Zeh shmi v'zeh zichri. This is my name and this is my remembrance. But remembrance is really not the best way of translating that. Zichri could also mean what? This is how it's mentioned. Mentioned is, like, zechri means it mentions. Like, this is how it, right? How it is mentioned. Literally, how it is mentioned. So my name is Zeshmi, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, This is Zichri, and this is how it's mentioned, how it's said. How is it said? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Adnu. Right. So we don't say the name properly. So we discussed it last time. Yeah, remember that there is a difference in what those two names mean.
Right.
Yeah, Havaye means Yud Kevavke means. That's the sense we have a direct connection with Hashem. We see how everything's coming from Hashem. It's all God's will. And the Adnut means that He's our Lord and I choose to serve Him. I have my own free will. Remember, I have free will when I'm in the relationship, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, as it were, everything's coming from Hashem. And I, as it were, even a Kol Nun Shemayim, even Yir Shemayim. I don't have any. But when I'm in the Bechina of Adnut, then as it were, God is the king and I'm the servant and I have a certain degree of autonomy. Yeah, right. To serve Him or not, right?
And in the time to come, so it will only have the realization of the form.
Right, exactly. Then we'll pronounce God's name as it is written. Meaning to say, it's not just what we're going to say, it's going to what that means, what actually saying that implies, right? That it implies on the cognitive level, yeah, that we will perceive that everything is from Hashem. And therefore, we will, including our own free will, right? And therefore, we're going to cross that border. Remember that border between free will and God's knowledge. Yeah. So then we'll see how everything is from Hashem, and then we'll say God's name as is written. Okay. Okay. Next. Next. What you want to say?
Sure. Rabbi Akiva went and found Rabbi Yeshua in great distress. He said to him, "Master, why are you in distress?" He replied, "Akiva, it were better for a man to be on a sick bed for 12 months than that such an injunction should be laid upon him to travel on Yom Kippur."
On Yom Kippur. Just by insight, to tell you the background here, this was apparently came after the fight. You know, there was a big fight in the Beis Medrash between Rabbi Yeshua and Rav. Who was he fought with? Who told him to come to Yom Kippur? It was Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was. No, it was Rabbi Gamliel. I think it was Rabbi Gamliel. He said to him, "Come to." They had a big machloikus in the Beis Medrash. I don't think it was Rabbi Gamliel, maybe. And he said, "Come to me on the day which I'm koveya Yom Kippur," because they had a machloikus of what day Yom Kippur came out,
mm-hmm.
Right? And Rabbi Gamliel, I think we'll check in a minute. I'm not sure if Rabbi Gamliel thinks so. I don't get it wrong. Said, "Come to me on. I'm the nasi, and you have to follow my psak." So he come to me on my day. Rav Gamliel. And then they deposed. That's when they deposed Rav Gamliel from being a Nasi. That's the whole story. That's when Rav Elazar ben Arach became the Nasi. The word says that he became gray in one night. The famous story, right? But Rav Gamliel was too tough. I think he was a very, very tough Nasi. He was very tough. And he had something against Rav Yeshua. Because a number of times put him down in front of the people, and there was a merit against Rav Gamliel. They deposed him from being Rosh Sanhedrin. Okay, so apparently this happens then. The Rabbi Akiva came to visit him, and he was very distressed on the fact he's going to have to travel on
the day that the Nasi said was.
The day he considers Yom Kippur.
Oh, I see.
Because he said to him, "You come to me."
Well, Nasi's just saying, "Submit to me."
Submit to me and come to me on the day that you say is Yom Kippur. Because I say the day before is Yom Kippur, the day after, right? We had a difference in opinion when the new moon starts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So come to me on your Yom Kippur, which means he'd have to bechal Yom Kippur. And so he was sick from that, okay?
Yeah.
So
he said to him, "Master, will you allow me to tell you something which you yourself have taught me?" He said to him, "Speak." He then said to him, "The text says, you, three times, to indicate that you may fix the festivals, even if you err inadvertently." You, a second time, even if you err deliberately. You, even if you are misled.
Okay,
you is talking about who?
The verse here. The verse at the bottom. Yeah, yeah. Right. The Sanhedrin. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem mo'adei Hashem asher tikru otom mikrei kodesh elehem mo'ad. There's a problem here. I think
it's not the right
pasuk. It's not the full pasuk. I made a mistake here. No, the mistake. I suppose I have three pasukim. Here. There's pasuk of Vishmartim mitzvosai, Vasisim otam, ani Hashem. You will keep my mitzvahs, and you will do them. You will do them otam ani Hashem. But it doesn't say otam. It says atem. Right. If you look, you see the first verse there. Right. It says it's missing the vav, so you could learn it as being atem, you in the plural. Right. You Vishmartim mitzvosai usitem. You should do them. Next pasuk from Vayikra. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem mo'odei Hashem asher tikru atem. Okay? Mikrei kodesh elehem mo'odei. Right? You call them. Ele mo'odei Hashem mikrei kodesh asher tikru atem b'mo'odem. Right? It is otam. But it could be atem, right? So it says you three times. Three different verses. Uh-huh. Right? So the Chazal learned from that. What does it mean three different times? You are the one who koveya the mo'adim, right? Even if you make a mistake inadvertently, even if you make a mistake deliberately, right? Even if you are misled, the mo'ad will come out on the day that you are koveya. So what? That was a comfort to Rabbi Yeshua, because he said...
Rabbi Yeshua the head of the Sanhedrin?
No, because Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the Sanhedrin.
Oh, that's what that
so
is.
So if Rabbi Gamliel said, the day is this day, so you know what? It's that day. It doesn't, even if he made a mistake...
Oh, I say, you can consider the Nasi correct.
Right, even though you don't agree with him in the day.
The Machlek is because Rabbi Yeshua started, he figured out the calendar. And Rabbi Gamliel said, no, we're going just by the site of the witness.
This was after the creation of the calendar?
This was, he claimed that according to his calculations, we were going to be doing Yom Kippur and Yom Gay.
I see, wow. Interesting. Although the calendar was, Hillel Katan was probably later than this, the actual calendar that we use.
Maybe I'm making a mistake, but if I remember correctly, it was an issue of the calendar.
Versus Adam.
Versus Adam.
Very interesting. I didn't know that. Very good. Any case, the point is, he comforted him because he said, it doesn't matter if it's right.
The capital Adim and
Yeshua.
And Rabbi Yeshua.
Rabbi Yeshua said that they were telling the truth because they didn't work with the calculations.
Oh, really? Interesting. But we know that they did calculations even so, right? In other words, even those days, it said that one of the Chachamim, I forgot who, had a whole, in his attic, like he had a whole luach, and he had a whole way of figuring out the calculation. But even though they calculated, they still went according to Adam, right? All right. You know they just discovered this ancient computer? You know, read about this amazing thing?
They didn't just
discover it, but they finally deciphered it. They discovered this ancient computer, like from the Romans or the Greeks. It's like literally it's a computer, not a computer like we understand it, but it's got like many moving parts, and you can calculate the whole, like all the constellations using it, like with a tremendous accuracy, and it's already been like rusted and corroded. They really can't take it apart, but they never quite figured out how to use it. It was so complicated. The scientists, they just couldn't figure out what they knew that it was doing something really special, and like extremely clever the way it was constructed, and. And just recently they were able to like look inside with x-rays or something and see that there is like instructions engraved in it, and that helped them figure out exactly how it was used. They said it's amazing. It's an amazingly complex piece of machinery, which goes back to at least 2,000 years. Yeah. They were pretty good back then, okay? Okay, now we know the pieces, yeah? So now we know the three pieces. Let us now look at the Ishvitzer. So let's do it like this. Let's read it carefully. And really, at this point, I think that aside from certain key terms that he uses, right, you'll understand. You'll be able to construct everything he means because we've been through many ideas already. Okay. Mishpat Rishon, who, the first mishpat in Parshat Mishpatim, right? Who ki tikna eved ivri, sheish shanim yavod b'shvi yotzei lechov shechinam. Right, the first mishpat in Mishpatim is when you purchase a Jewish slave, he will work for you for 6 years, and in the seventh year he will go out free.
This is all
Beit Yaakov. This is all the Beit Yaakov, okay? Zeu levush ledavar anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzei sicha me'eretz Mitzrayim beis avodim. Levush means to say this somehow parallels or is the mitzvah that somehow, right, that we, right, that, actually, anochi Hashem Elokecha, I don't mean to be levush. I don't mean to lose you. But it means in any case that there is a parallel between this and, of course, the first commandment. Right? First commandment is, I am Hashem who took you out of the land of Egypt. So somehow or other, the idea of that in the seventh year you let the slave go is related to the first commandment. I'd have to ask why you use the term Levush. Levush is a term which Ishbosheth uses a lot, but I don't know why he uses it here. Okay? Shekol Yisrael ayu mizochachim Ura'a kol achad mifurash she'ein lo alav el Hashem elokav. Because when Hashem took them out of Egypt at the Har Sinai, are you with me? You're looking like you.
Yeah, I just lost the place.
Just on the third, on the third line. Okay, or second line, second and third. Shekol Yisrael, when Hashem gave and Hashem said these words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? Shekol Yisrael mizochachim, they were purified, yes, and they saw the furash explicitly that they the ain't lo alav el, the only Hashem was on top, only Hashem ruled them, was on top of them, right? There's no other power above them but Hashem. Okay. That the only, he doesn't say that there was no other existence but Hashem, but that there was only no other. They had nobody above them. There's no other relationship other than theirs to Hashem. You're gonna see what he means. Yuchusam haya mivurar lifnehem. That's what does that word mean? This is very the Ishbitzer uses certain terms over and over again. That's why I underlined it. Yuchusam yuchus is one of the terms he uses a lot. What is yuchus? Their yuchus. What is yichus?
Connection.
Yichus is your lineage. Your yichus is your lineage, right?
The yichus is always used as lineage.
Yeah, right. Your lineage. So what came before you?
I think
yachas. Yachas is relationship. It's related. It's a related word, right? So your yichus means your lineage. The Ishbitzer uses this term all the time. The Beis Yaakov, right? The yichus means. Your Yehusam means your knowledge of your source. That's how he understands it.
Wow.
Right? To know my Yehus, if I knew my Yehus properly, then I could know that I am a child of Avraham Avinu. Like, I knew it, but to know it doesn't just mean, well, I know, like, we Jews come from Avraham Avinu. I know it in the sense of there is a linkage. It's like I'm a link in the chain. So there's no break. You might say that the essence, the power, the vision of Avraham Avinu would be alive in my life, because there's no break in that chain, yeah, right. So if Hashem at Har Sinai says the Jews are my firstborn, so what is he saying? What did he just reveal to them? Their yichus. He just revealed to their yichus that we are Hashem's firstborn. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know that, then you know that I'm directly connected to Hashem. I have a direct connection to Hashem. Right? Because I know that I'm like his son. Right? But when you forget your yichus, then you're forgetting your connection. Right? So let's talk out some of the ideas, because the Ishbitzer is going to say that. So what would have been the chait of Adam and Rishon in the garden? What did the Nachash try and make Adam do? Forget his yichus. Mm. If you forget your yichus and you forget you're directly connected to Hashem, then of course you can sin. Right? What name of the two names of God do you think is more connected to the kinds of yichus? I mean, the two names of God, Yudke Vavke and Adnut, right? Which of those two names is more, do you think, is probably more connected to the idea of having a direct Yichus of Hashem?
The latter?
The Yudke Vavke. That's, I think, the former. Because Yudke Vavke shows me that everything in the world is constantly being created by Hashem in every moment.
And you connect, and your master, so your connection isn't.
It's not real.
Because you choose it.
Not just that, because I have free will. The master relationship, I have this free will. But the Yichus relationship means I'm already part, I'm an extension of, I'm a part of, I'm of Him. Right? So interesting enough, if we go back to the story of Adam and Marish in the garden, which name does the Nachash use when he talks about Hashem?
Elohim,
not Hashem. Mm. Because he doesn't want to use Hashem's name.
Right.
Because he wants to break the Yuchus. Okay? Mm. Alright? So Yuchusam Ayem Mivurar Lifneim. I'm now three lines down. Shashem Yisburuch Amar Lehem B'nei Bukhari Yisrael. Vahim Mufurash Lifneim. It was obvious in front, it was obvious to them. Sha'af achakach tered hashpat Hashem Yisburuch l'kol achad v'achad v'orach mishor v'lo yalem shum michush pen o mafich mirosan Hashem Yisburuch. That's a long sentence. Yan sh'aya mifurash lefneim sh'ein shum davar naseh bilti Hashem Yisburuch. It's a long sentence, okay? there's part of this we're going to have to just bracket for a minute. Okay? Even though afterwards, there a certain hashpa, a certain power, or came down from Hashem. Now, well, let's bracket that for a second, because later on he's going to explain what that means in other terms. Later he's going to say the biggest problem of a human being is Hashem gives him gifts, and then we think it's our own power.
Right? Oh yeah.
You could think you could be strong, you could be smart. Those are hashpah. Those are hashpah. Hashpah means like an influence from Hashem. Mm-hmm. And then we take it for ourselves. So he's saying, even afterwards, they were so connected to Hashem, that even afterwards Hashem gives them these gifts. He gives a person wisdom, strength, intelligence, holiness. Right? But they were so connected, their yichus was so strong, their understanding that Hashem is the source of this was so strong, that they never affected them negatively. They never took that for themselves. What we call koichim v'atzim yodi, the sense that I myself have independent power, right? Right? Even though afterwards, tered hashpas Hashem is broken, l'chol echad v'echad, b'orach mishari, in a very direct way, this hashpas from Hashem comes to each and every one with his own particular koch, their own particular strength, right? V'lo yalo shum michush, pen hifuch, they never had even a littlest sense that they could do something opposite God's will. Osim hefich merotzon Hashem yisbaruch. Why?
They're so connected.
They're so connected, right? Yan shayam mefurash lehem she'ein shum davar nasi bilti Hashem, because it was so clear and obvious to them, yes, that nothing can be done unless God wants it to be done. That was their state of consciousness, Har Sinai, right? Yes.
Isn't that the rub now? Isn't that what we're dealing with like every day? The gap
100%.
Between us and Hashem, because our ego gets in the way, and says that we're in the power and then we're doing it.
Of course, 100%.
When we're really not.
Of course.
I mean, isn't that the
that's a chay the region, of course. Yeah. But he's trying to show you what would it look like if we were on the other side of the thing, right?
Sure.
The other side of the thing, right? And where did the problem start, right? And why is it a repeating problem? You know, because you're right, it's a repeating problem. It wasn't just a problem that happened once in Adam and Garden or by Har Sinai.
Right.
It's the nature of human beings to be, right?
Sad as it is,
right?
All in Hashem is when we all started at Har Sinai, but I feel like in my personal experience in this body, in this time, generally when I feel like a sense of connection to Hashem, it usually comes with a sense that I can do an Avera, though. It usually comes with like Yira, which is like, wow, I can really, like, you're so good, and I have this feeling, this awareness, but like, it's so fragile, it's so tender, like, I feel like Shema Yigom Achet, right? It's like all of the fears of like, Yaakov not trusting, like, you know, if, like, you're promising me these things, you're going to be with me, but I'm worried that I can't hold to you.
Let's just wait. I think he's going to address that later on. Okay. All right. There was no place to say, how disgusting is this person?
Hmm.
Why not?
Nice.
Why not?
Ah.
We learned that midrash, right? Yeah. Why?
Because you're talking about Hashem.
Because what did Eliyahu Navi say back to him?
Say that to my creator.
Say that to my creator, right? But, so in other words, he forgot, right, what happened. And like you said, what Lazar forgot, the connection between the person and the creator. Because of his ego, because he was so proud. He was learning Torah, but he was learning Torah obviously not a good way, right? He was learning a way that made him pride. So he looked at a person who was ugly, right? And said, how ugly is he? And the man said to him, no, you're forgetting that I'm not ugly. I didn't choose to be ugly. I didn't have free will to be ugly. I was created, right?
Or created this way.
Created this way. Well, good. I mean, very good. Created this way, and therefore you've forgotten the connection,
mm-hmm.
right? And therefore, go tell. Then he reminded him. Go tell the person. He said, oh, you're right. There is a God over. Ironically enough, he learning Torah for him was not a samachai. Learning Torah for him was created the opposite. Which, right? Okay. Right? V'lo yishu makam lomar kamen mukhor klize. Akshayam fnefneim. Tanas could lech luuman shasani v'omar, because they knew so well the answer. The answer is go to my creator and complain to him. Right? They knew that. It was so clear to them. There was the connection between God and the creation, right? V'zaya she'is b'zor kodesh. This is what the Zohar Kodesh says. Asara mamaros l'masiv reishis, asara mamaros l'matan Torah. Right? 10 statements of creation and 10 statements of the giving of the Torah. She'or gadol she'aya b'sha'a dibros hu mityaches la'or she'aya b'reishis abriya. That the Zohar says that the 10 statements of Matan Torah were somehow or other related to. You got it? Next time I'll put numbers on the side, Jim. I'm sorry. Okay. That somehow they parallel the 10 statements of Genesis. But the point he wants to make here is actually not so much that, but rather the next point. V'chen ha-kishalon. He wants to actually want to say that the chait of what was the chait of the beginning of creation, and what was the chait of Matan Torah?
The beginning of creation.
The chait, and what was the mistake at the beginning of creation?
The tree.
Adam's sin. Right. Adam's sin, right? And what was the mistake in Matan Torah? Chet Egel. So he wants to say these two parallel each other.
Wow.
These two parallel each other. The sin of Adam and the sin of the Chet Egel parallel each other.
In terms now, of the
Yich. Well, good. What was the sin of Adam?
His yichus was taken away from him. He lost consciousness of his
very good. He lost consciousness, his intrinsic connection with the Shem.
Intrinsic.
And have
the key. That's the key.
Obviously, you want to be like God, so it's implying that you're not.
That's good. I never thought about that. Status. I never thought about that. And I have to think about this. That's the thing. You should think more about that. Exactly.
One more time, sorry.
What was the thing was that if you eat this, you become like God. It's already more on a separation.
So you have to think more about that. Go back and look at the Pesukim, because he doesn't exactly explain why. He just simply explains that the connection was broken. But exactly how it's found in the Chet is interesting. You should go back and think about that. Okay? V'chen kishalon ha-shaya achar matan Torah. Hu ke'ein ha-kishalon, the kishalon means the stumbling, right? The stumbling after matan Torah is similar, ke'ein ha-kishalon shel Adam HaRishon, was similar to the sin, the stumbling, the mistake, is a better word, of Adam HaRishon. Ki al reishit abriya omru HaKadosh Baruch Hu haya bonei olamot u'machrivan u'bonei olamot u'machrivan asher bara elu v'omra din hanayin li v'yeis hun lo hanayin li. That's because at the very beginning of creation we know the Midrash says God created the worlds and destroyed them. Right. Created the world until he said I don't like it, these I do like. Okay, what's the point here? U'bara et Adam Rishon. He created Adam Rishon. V'amar lo mekol atzei gan achal tochal, you can eat from every tree in the fruit. Ki ze achila romez al hakara hargasha lakir godel koach Hashem Yisburach. She'ein shum koach b'olam bilti Hashem Yisburach. He says the opportunity that Adam had to eat from all the fruits in the garden was all still within the context of his acknowledgement that there's no koach in the world except for Hashem. Right?
Right, okay.
I think that he may be saying, referring to what he said above, that there's every person has their own sort of hashpa. Hashem is sort of sending each person in the world their own unique abilities, their own unique kochot, right? And each person ideally should understand that my kochot are what's given to me from Hashem and not sort of take personal credit for them, right? I sort of suspect that that's what he's trying to imply by the trees in the garden. In other words, each tree was its own taste, its own, like each person has got their own strengths and stuff. And you can eat from all of them because you haven't yet eaten from that one tree that causes the separation, right? Each person has their own particular approach until he eats from the tree. And then he loses the contact between who he is and his creator, right? Ukemo achilas kohen v'truma, right? And like, it's very interesting, I don't know this, but he said when a Kohen eats from the Truma, it was the same sort of thing. They realized that it came from Hashem. Okay.
Well.
Right? Maybe because, it says that the Kohen, and Meshuchim de Gevoach, everything that the Kohen ate really belonged to Hashem, and he ate it kilu from Hashem.
Right,
okay. Are you with me? The first word, Truma, it's about 12 lines down. Rak me'etze das tovra nistave shelo yuchal, lo yuchal. Only from the tree of knowledge of goodness he was commanded not to eat. This is now getting back to Kochot Chazak. Now this is I'm going to translate it, but I don't fully understand what it means. But I'll translate it, yeah? See if we can figure it out. Hashem established in the world. Hashem yitziv bolam kochot chazakot she'ein b'koch adam lachnisam b'kirbo. Yash kocham chazak m'kocho. Hashem created forces in the world that are very strong, and a person is not able to contain them because they are stronger than he.
Hmm.
I don't know what this means. I actually called up Ora Wiskin-Elper, who is wrote a whole book on Ishbitz. She's a great scholar of Ishbitz and the Breslev. She's a colleague of mine at Michlola. And she gave me an answer, and it doesn't sit with me. Like she said, like I said before, that Hashem, like there's certain kochot like people have, you know, gifts, right? But sometimes it's too much for you. Like what could be, what does that mean he made gifts which are, what do you mean he made kochot which are too much for a person? Like how do I don't understand it. How can I, the problem is Adam, Shall Adam Rishon sheitziv latzmo kli lekabel yoter mekfiya kli kibul shelo. That Adam Rishon he set up a kli that was.
It could have been good. Does this mean that it could have been a good thing?
Shall sheitziv latzmo kli lekabel yoter mekfiya kli kibul shelo. He tried to take into his life kochot, whatever that means, that were stronger, that were more powerful than his ability to actually receive them.
But does this mean that if
it was bad? It was bad.
But if he had strength in his kli, he would have been able to eat the.
Of course, of course. That's listen. What underlying what he's talking about?
What's your problem? What's your problem?
He's talking about. Well, let's just translate. He's talking about kochot. I mean, obviously, the basis of what is called shvir sekelim. Shvir sekelim is that the koch was too strong for the kli,
mm-hmm.
Right? And
so, okay, let's look at this a second. Yeah. Okay, so we've got, here's the kli, right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and we're pouring this in, and this is stronger than this.
Right.
Which means it's going to be more forceful.
Right.
Which might make it crowded in here, which means we can't handle it.
Or it's going to break. We can't handle it. Very good.
Or we'll break.
Right, very good. The question, my other question is, well, he's translating this in some East, that's like a very Kabbalistic explanation, which is good. But he's very interested in sort of talking about in the internal workings of like the personality. What is he talking about? Why is there a person that kochot in the
world? It's not like Adam Rishon died, you know, afterwards.
Well, he did.
Well, he did, I guess, right?
Wow. I mean, he did. Right? So what exactly, I mean, look, I can give you an example. Right? Reb Tzadik talks about this, yeah? Reb Tzadik says that Shlomo HaMelech said, Hashem said to he writes in the Torah, right? A melech lo yarba susim. Melech shouldn't have too many susim, shouldn't have too many horses. Mm-hmm. Melech shouldn't have too many wives, right? Now, that's sort of a koch, having too much susim. Rav Tzadik says.
No, wait a minute. Whose position?
Hashem said that. Hashem says in the Torah, a king is not allowed to have too many wives and not too many horses.
Okay?
Because horses are. Now, Rav Tzadik says horses symbolize power. Because if he brings a lot of sources, I'm sure Rav Shalom has the.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure Rav Shalom has here the safe the Ishbit the big Rav Tzadik Haggadah. He brings down there. Rav Tzadik says that the horses. If he brings many psukim to show horses in the Torah always represent power, strength, right? So a king is not supposed to have too many horses. He has to be humble, right? So horses would, in Ishbit's terms, represent one of the kochot that Hashem puts in the world. But and he tells you don't take too much. A king shouldn't have too much of this koach.
So he sets limitations.
Yes, and but listen to him, Shlomo HaMelech. You're right. You're right. I'm just looking to find what does it mean in terms of personality, right? Okay. So Shlomo HaMelech said, "Arbe v'lo echta. I will have a lot and I won't sin." Right? He said, "I can have a lot. I can have a lot of wives and I won't sin. I can have a lot of horses." And of course, he did fall. He did sin.
So he's trying to negotiate with God.
Well, he thought he understood why God forbid it, and he said, "Well, now I understand the reason behind it, so now I can go do."
Like I said, but he's trying to negotiate.
I don't know if he's negotiating because he wasn't so.
But he's the wisest person.
What?
Wisest man.
Well, yeah, but so he made a mistake. Everybody says, "Mechazal say he made a mistake." Him, Well, that's what Hashem said, because I mean, Hashem made a mistake. He lost his malchus. I mean, then he thinks that even worse. He lost all malchus based on it for 2,000 years, more, 3,000, because he had too many wives, and he ended up doing the Avodah Zarah. Right? So, but the point is, there you have an example of a koach.
He ended up doing
Avodah Zarah. Of course, because he had too many wives, and the wives brought him to do Avodah Zarah. And Hashem got angry at him and said, because of this, you're going to now lose the malchus. And the kingdom was torn after that. So only because of David the Melech, I won't take the kingdom away from you altogether. Because of David Avdi. Right? So here you have an example of a sort of a koach, which means, let's say, power. Power is one, right? Which was too much for him. He couldn't handle. You know what? Everything is a circle, right? The whole beginning, right? What about all these gurus, right? That's exactly what we're talking about.
Saying that there's kochot that no person can.
Each person according to his level. I mean,
I'm not sure. But what was your problem?
Alarish's problem?
I don't know. What was he saying?
Alarish, according to his level, tried to get a koch. It wasn't my team for him.
Fine, but what the issue with the line of that Hashem? I'm asking why you don't understand that, because it's very abstract.
What type of kochot is he talking about? He sounds like he's talking about abstract things, but he's really talking about internal things, like what kochot bolam sounds about kochot ruach. Like what type of kochot is he talking about? He means Asagot, or he means abilities, or he means...
What could be temptations? No,
he's not talking about temptations. No. He means more like...
I'm just thinking about what we just talked about, Shlomo Melech. So, Shlomo Melech...
No, but it's the Shlomo...
He came into things that were just not...
Yeah, but he did, but it wasn't a temptation.
You're not calling them kochot of Hashem, but...
They are kochot of Hashem, but it was too much for him, right? It was too much for him. Listen, strength, power is a kochot Hashem puts in the world. But it was too much for Shlomo to do. He couldn't deal with it. It was too much for him, right? He couldn't handle it. And that was the Shvira, right? Listen, anytime ego, success, you know, is a good one. Success causes ego, causes Shvira. Like, anytime you get, that Shvira is a Kalim. Whenever you try, Reb Nachman has a Torah in Likutei Moran, where he said, if kavod, if a person gets a sudden increase of kavod, of honor, he gives him a whole talik. You have to be very, very careful. He says, I don't remember the Torah, but do this and do this and do this. Otherwise, it can lead to a shvira. Because here you have all of a sudden a lot of new koyach, energy came into the world. Okay, so it happened to Shlomo, it happened to Andrew Cohen, it happened to the Avdil, right?
And the Chet Egel.
So apparently they also, so he said Adam Rishon wanted something that he couldn't hold. Ultimately, that's the model of Shvira Sekalim. But he wanted knowledge, maybe it was knowledge, maybe it was power, maybe, right? Depends how you understand the chait. Depends how you say, what could have been knowledge of God. Some people say the chait of the Eitz Hadas was he wanted power, whatever, right? But it was too much for him, yeah? It was above his level, yeah? That, and what did the Jewish people want at Har Sinai? Right. I don't know, it's a good question. I don't know. What was
what's the cause?
What's the parallel? I don't know.
They're waiting to receive the cause.
I don't know. Think about it. I don't know. It's a good question. He doesn't say what it was. He doesn't draw that parallel. But in any case, he does say that Hashem does put in the world kochot, which are chazakot, she'ein b'koch adam, nachnisam b'kirbo, yain she'kocham chazak mikochot. They're too strong for him. V'zayo chet shal Adam Rishon. That was Adam Rishon's sin. She'etziv la'atzmo kabel yoter mekfi akli kibul shelo. He made himself a kli, as it were. He tried to, which was bigger than his what he actually had.
Yeah, he wanted a bigger cup.
He wanted a bigger cup, but he wasn't able. He wanted to get more water, and he couldn't. V'Hashem Yisbarach he'etziv she'mashpia l'chol rak kfi akli kibul shelo. Hashem really created the world to give to each person just what they need, not more than that. Okay,
yeah, that's the key.
You're saying something very deep. What's the key?
The key is that it's Hashem gave us what we need. Okay? But if I can't accept what he needs, then there's a problem.
Right.
No, but there's also growth, and you have to.
But then how can you possibly accept too much?
No, but grow for something else.
You can grow for something
else. Growth is separate.
Growth is separate. You will grow. There's a natural growth. The question is, am I going to try and grab something which is way beyond me now? Right? That causes shvira sekalim.
It's going out of
bounds a little bit.
Right.
I mean, there's a taking a leap also growth.
But Babaji, at the very beginning, what? Taking that leap sometimes causes shvira, like you said, the teacher of Andrew Cohen. The Ishbitzer school, not Ishbitzer, the Todesh from Peshischa, right? the Simcha Banav of Peshischa from this. So they one of the I don't know this. I only read this in other literature. I never read this in this book itself. But apparently, one of the things he used to do with his disciples was to somehow into a very high level, very very fast, and they would all fall.
And then
the question is how do you relate to the second, right? One of the tainot, the complaints against him by the other tzaddikim at the time was this is not the right way to do it. You know? But listen, I've heard
the army does this.
You're right, but you know what, you're very good. It's very interesting to say that because I had a student once. He was a student of mine at Bar Ilan, and of all the students, he went to the army. Most of them were just for a year. He went to the army, and I was in touch with him during the whole period. And I can tell you that he was in the army for like 2-3 months, and he came to my house once. He was a mess.
Yeah, sure.
He was emaciated. He was mm-hmm. lacking sleep. He was telling how hard it was. And then I went to his graduation at the end. He was a gibor.
Yeah,
sure, of course.
It was unbelievable.
So he integrated something.
Yeah, but you need a rebbe. In other words, the army held him.
Oh,
They built his kli. They broke.
Let
him
get arrogant with it, and he went.
They wouldn't let him fall.
Some people don't make it. I've seen people who just didn't.
Yeah, they became jobnikim, you know. But some people, they held him, and they held him until he could rebuild him. But if you let the person go, like the example you gave at the beginning, right,
mm-hmm.
right, then you know. So then they may not rebuild him, right? He might fall.
Yeah.
Right. So either we're gonna stop or continue.
I have to.
Okay. Fine. Thanks. Great. Thanks very much for seeing. I'll see you next week, Be'ez Hashem.
It's a miniature with the holidays. I mean, like Shavuos, I have it on Earth, but then the next day, it's totally crashed.
All right.
Totally sad.
Well, that,
that's because I'm so tired.
Because you're tired. Don't
sensitive to sleep.
Everybody has that. Everybody gets to Shavuos is like with jet lag. No, there's always just don't be too off top on yourself. Everybody's just tired.
Well, I mean, like my relationship with my wife was strained because of that.
That's because you're tired. Yeah, but I know people who were. I know a lot. It's very common, for instance, in Breslev.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly people who were disciples of Rev Lazar Berland, who is a powerhouse of Avoda,
right.
That they clung to him and they did tshuva with him and they followed him around and they did everything he did and then they burned themselves out. And I know this about a few people who became disciples of really big Ovdim, you know, like Ovdim are like people,
right.
really serious
yeah.
Ovdim. Shem. So in any case, Adam Rishon wanted more than he could. Should we, gentlemen, where's your time schedule? We feel like we could fit. I mean, on one hand, we could finish this next week, or we got something new, or we could work on it now. But we're not going to finish it in 5 minutes. So,
yeah.
So where are you all guys holding about this?
I usually have to get to a bus at 5:30.
So you want to continue next week a bit? Let's finish at the end. Let's finish at the end of the paragraph. Okay, and then maybe we'll finish next week, and then we'll have time. We should have time to go on to something new as well. Okay. Okay. Fine. Right. Okay. So. Okay. V'Hashem Yisburach Yitziv Shemashpia L'Chol Bria Rak Kefi Akli Kibul Shelo. Hashem really set it up that He really wants to give to each person just what they. V'Zeh Romez Achiloso Me'Eitz Adas. That was. This is what is alluded to in his eating from the Eitz Adas. Min'Eitz. I'm sorry. Eitz Adas. Shebizah Eitz Hayachazak. Because this Eitz had a lot of power. V'Chnis Badam Godel Hitpashtut. This is the real issue here. This is something Reb Tzedek talks about a lot. There's a whole piece of Reb Tzedek we talk about in an amazing way. Hitpashtut means expanse. He'd be expanded, but in an egotistical way. He expanded like he became like filled with himself. Okay? Hitpashtut. V'nidme lo shiyesh lo eze kinyan ba'or. And that's the problem. And he thought that now the light is his, belonged to his. What is this opposite? What's this opposite? If you know Yichus, if you have a sense of Yichus,
mm-hmm.
what do you know? What's the source of the light?
Hashem.
Because you have that Yichus, you have that sense of you know where it's coming from.
Right.
But if the Yichus breaks, then he thought the light is mine. Okay?
Which broke the connection.
He broke the connection, okay? Okay, and there's a problem, and this is Reb Tzedek says this is an unbelievable piece of Reb Tzedek, is Torah Reish Vav in Tzitzkes Tzedek. He says this is a talich that every human being goes through. He says Hashem gives you gifts, and he says it definitely happens when you're younger. Hashem gives you gifts. You become arrogant and proud. Then you break, and you lose them, And you only get them back much later, but then when you get them back, you get them in an integrated, humble way. It's a beautiful, it's one of the most powerful Torahs in all of Tzitzis HaTzadik, right? Okay? Reshbab, it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal Torah. He connects it, it's like that, it's like my Torah, my life, you know what I mean? Okay. V'lekach HaTova behester panim. He took the goodness behester panim. In other words, he took the goodness of his giving, Hester Panim, he didn't see where the source was. Hester Panim in concealment. The goodness came to him now in concealment, rather in that sense of direct relation. Hashem is this thing is coming straight from Hashem. Sheheniach ha-muskalot ve'achaz b'mukhshot. This is something that I understand the Rambam writes. I wasn't aware of this, but somebody asked the Rambam, in Mor Nevuchim, what's the problem of Adam eating from the tree of knowledge? After all, he got knowledge, which is a good thing. He says, well, in the beginning, his knowledge was abstract knowledge. After it became sort of knowledge of physical things, it lost its abstract quality. But what the Ishbitzer really is saying more is like it went from being pure and empty and full of God to being physical and closed, just limited to my own limited consciousness, which is now expanded in a negative sort of egotistical way, right? Bezeaya kodim zmano. This happened before his time, because we know v'chal paga. The Midrash says that Adam ate an unripe fruit. That had he waited for Shabbos, he could have eaten from it, right? Because on Shabbos he would have seen Shabbos. It would be so clear that everything's from Hashem. They could have never made the mistake of breaking the connection. Okay. V'alze mora mash nemar v'yitparu aleitena. This is what the Gemara says. V'yaso lehem chagur. This is what it says. This is the pasuk says that they sewed for themselves. They took fig leaves and they sewed for themselves belts. Chagura romes al tkufot. Kufot is a word that Ishbitzer uses many, apparently in at least two different ways. Tkufot, we saw that one hand uses in terms of certainty. Tkufot means we saw that already. Mm-hmm. Here he means in terms of strength. Tkufot are strong things, powerful things, mm-hmm. Right? So why did they, right, tokef. So why did they make a belt? A belt means we say gird ourselves, Ozer Yisrael b'gvura, right? You Hashem is belt. He girds us with strength. Mm-hmm. So the making the belt means right, and it means shkiinin she'anu amrim Ozer Yisrael b'gvura, right? Hashem girds us with strength. Shezem morash Hashem is bruch niten tkufot b'Israel shlo is yashu mitikva ki kol apulot yuchlu litkaten b'tov. He's just interpreting the pasuk Ozer Yisrael b'gvura. What does it mean that Ozer Hashem gives us tkufa, strength? What does the blessing mean? Not forget Adam Rishon for a second. Just the blessing. He says the blessing means what is the tkufa, the strength Hashem gives us, mm-hmm. Right? He says shelo yityashu mitikva. We should never lose hope, right? Right? Because in the end, everything can be fixed. Everything will come out good for the best. That's the tkufa. That's what when you think of Ozer Yisrael b'gvura, that's what you should think of. That the Ezra, the strength Hashem is giving us, is that in the end everything will be okay. Hashem will work it out. But the tkufa that Adam Rishon got, right? Shall Adam Rishon hayita kodem zmana, because he got too. It was a power. It was a certainty. It was a knowledge that was too soon. V'achal paga, he ate an unripe fruit. V'alzeh romas te'ena. That's what, right? That's what the meaning te'ena means, right? And there's a mistake here. Maybe chagura. Teina v'chagura. I have to check. Chagura. Ki bezmana hu atkufot tov ma'od. Ki inyan matzigu. There are certain times when strength in the right time is correct. In other words, again, by Ishbit, everything is in the right time, is at the wrong time. Right? There's had he waited for Shabbos, that would have been the time to have that. Mm-hmm. That knowledge that God is everything, but before that it was the wrong time to try to get that, to try to masig that before that. Like he says, "Inin shematzigu David Melech," right? Hashem amar alai b'nei ata hayom ani hayom yilitecha. That says David Melech says, "Hashem said to me, you are my son. I have today given birth to you." Shezeh Hashevet Einu Oved Yichusu Le'olam. The Shevet Yehuda, or at least the Adav HaMelech, never loses their Yichus. Meaning what? What does it mean that David the Melech never loses his Yichus?
Never uses that link.
Never breaks the link. He always knows where his strength is from. So for David, strength was okay. Because you can give David the Melech a lot of strength.
It was the right kind of strength.
Because he'll never lose the connection.
Yeah, he can hold
right?
it.
Right? He can hold it. Right? But you give, but his son couldn't, right? David the Melech could. Kamashkas Basabi, this is Basabi the Mishpatim, that's in Zohar. Yehuda Ata, I think it should be Yehuda. Yehuda Adab Abba Kadma, Va'abi Tanina, V'lohava Bey, Khalifa Al-Amin. I don't really understand it. I don't know the Zohar there. Okay, let's just stop there, okay? Then he's going to Achan, but then he's going to talk about what Adam and Rishon did something wrong and what that means. And he's going to go on and on, and he's going to connect with our Sinai, and then he's going to talk about all the things we spoke about tonight. Okay, but let's stop there because it's a lot. Okay? All right. Sorry to keep you. You're running for the bus. Sorry to keep you. Okay.
Thank you for the discussion, too. I know that was part of the problem, but
no
rushing.
No,
it wasn't a problem. It was part of the action.